This is Georgia Focus, a public affairs presentation of this radio station and the Georgia News Network. For the next 30 minutes, we'll feature a discussion about an issue of importance and relevance to you and your neighbors across Georgia.
Welcome to Georgia Focus. I'm John Clark on the Georgia News Network. Mothers and Others for Clean Air is a program of the American Lung Association of the Southeast. It is a partnership of leading public health and child advocacy organizations who work to advance public policy that will improve air quality. They also partner with medical and public health professionals, as well as parents of children with asthma and those with chronic diseases. Our guests today are Susan Berryman Rodriguez. She is the project director for Mothers and Others for Clean Air, and Vicki Carew. She is a Mothers and Others supporter whose daughter has asthma. And I welcome you both to the show.
Thank you.
Susan, who is Mothers and Others for Clean Air, and how did it start?
Well, you did such a great job of describing it. I don't know how I can improve on that. But so Mothers and Others for Clean Air is a program of the American Lung Association, and we are a unique partnership of some of the leading public health and child advocacy organizations. And some of our partners include Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, Morehouse School of Medicine, and the Georgia chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics. So as you said, our mission is to advance public policy that improves air quality and fights climate change in order to protect public health, especially children's health. And we do this work by partnering with medical and public health professionals and moms of children with asthma, like Vicki, who's joining us today, and then others with chronic lung disease.
Now, it was founded by two very well-known Atlantans.
Yes. It was founded in 2004 by Laura Turner Seidel and Stephanie Blank, two amazing women who are both moms. Mm-hmm. And they were concerned about the air quality in Georgia, and so they decided to do something about it. They joined forces, joined Mothers and Others. And the original focus, though, was on improving Georgia's air quality. But since it's now under the umbrella of the American Lung Association of the Southeast, we are expanding to become a four-state regional coalition. And we're now in North Carolina, and we have plans to expand into South Carolina and Florida. But right now we focus our efforts in Georgia and North Carolina.
So you will be a part of the American Lung Association of the Southeast, or you are already
yes,
now?
Yes, we are now.
Okay.
And if I may, the American Lung Association is one of the oldest voluntary health groups, founded in 1904. So we have a really great track record of protecting lung health by improving outdoor air quality and fighting for clean air.
Vicki, how did you become involved with Mothers and Others?
Well, my daughter, I have a 16-year-old, and she has asthma. So she has been involved through American Lung Association summer camp, Camp Breathe Easy. She started participating in the camp when she was about 8 or 9 years old. She was a camper, and Camp Breathe Easy is a summer camp for children who are suffering from asthma. So she had the opportunity to participate. It was actually a phenomenal experience for her. And after outgrowing her years as a camper, she started participating. She was invited, actually, to participate as a leader in training because she really got so many benefits out of it. And she wanted to also help other kids like herself at least have a week during the summer where they can feel as though they're normal around other kids with asthma and other respiratory illnesses. So because of what she experienced from it, I felt as though there was something I needed to do to be able to help other mothers as well, not just to spread the word about asthma and about what the effects and the causes of asthma are, but also as a way for me to pay back what I think the great benefits were that she had gotten. So that's how I was introduced to Mothers and Others and started to at least support the work that they're doing and be an advocate for the agents sort of that feed this growing rise in the cases of asthma and other respiratory illnesses.
I would imagine in a case like with your daughter having asthma, there's a lot of education that you need. You need to find out more about it. It's not just I have asthma, that's it. There's a desire to learn more about what's going on about it and the environment around you. Have you found that with Mothers and Others that you've learned a lot more as a result of that?
Oh, gosh, yes. I thought I knew a lot as a mother of a child with asthma. She was diagnosed when she was just before she turned 4. And I thought I knew a lot about it already. But I've learned a lot more about what some of the triggers are, some of the things that we didn't really particularly think about. We see with the change in the climate. Now, for example, I leave home every morning morning, making sure that we're aware of what the pollen count is, what the air quality is for the day. Those are the kinds of things that we've been able to learn more about, learning more about what some of the policies are that impact the quality of our air and what we can do. Because I think there's so many times where we feel as though some of these climate-related agents that are influencing how our children are feeling, suffering from asthma. We sometimes, as moms, we feel as though there's really not much that we can do. But now I know that there's so much more that we can do to affect the change that's really going to make the quality of life for my daughter and others really improved.
Susan, we hear a lot about climate change. There's a huge debate going on there. We hear that all the time. Basically, what are the problems with our air right now, and what are some of the concerns?
Well, so there's two different things. You know, even though our air quality has improved over the years, more than 4 in 10 people still live in counties in the U.S. where either ozone, which is also known as smog, or particulate matter, or PM2.5, makes the air unhealthy to breathe, including parts of Georgia. So dirty air is a very dangerous public health issue. It causes us to suffer immediate and potentially fatal medical problems like heart attacks, strokes, lung cancer, and of course, worsening of lower chronic respiratory diseases, including asthma. Asthma is the most common chronic disorder of childhood and affecting 7.1 million children. And in Georgia, 1 in 12 children suffers from asthma, and African-American children are much more likely to experience it. And unfortunately, asthma is still the number one reason for admissions to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta.
Now, you mentioned air quality. We certainly have smog here in Atlanta. You can see it at times lingering over the city, and that's one of the reasons we have to get that emission sticker every year to make sure our cars are not. But, you know, I never thought, and Vicki, you touched on it, I never thought about the pollen count having an impact on this. That seems to have gotten worse over the years,
absolutely,
the pollen count. What are some of the precautions you have to take as far as your daughter with things like pollen count and the smog here in the city of Atlanta?
One of the things, unfortunately, that she has to do is travel with her asthma inhalers all the time. I mean, to the point where she even has one that's at her school. She's a very active child, so she always has to have it on hand. We try to keep the doors and windows closed as much as possible during this time, making sure that we're always trying to aerate the house, and at least when we're inside, that's one thing that we can control. But she limits the time that she spends outside, especially when the pollen count is really high. And during the seasonal changes as well. And for an outdoors child, that's a lot to ask for because she's very active in sports. But those are two things that we do primarily, make sure that we limit the amount of time that we're outdoors, and also making sure that she always has her inhalers handy.
So you've had to make some lifestyle changes around the house.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Changing the air filters regularly. Okay. As much as we'd love to enjoy the air, fresh air outdoors, we have to actually compensate for that by just closing the windows and the doors.
If I may, because sure, you brought up climate change, and there's a lot of debate.
Yeah.
So I wanted to address that in two ways. First, I wanted to kind of describe what it is. So climate change is a rise in temperatures from greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide emissions, or CO2, that traps heat in the Earth's atmosphere. And the Earth's average temperature has risen 1.4 degrees over the past century and is projected to increase another 4 to 8 degrees before 2100. And the 12 hottest years on record have occurred in the last 15 years. There is a broad scientific consensus that climate change is underway. In fact, 97% of climate scientists say that climate change is occurring and that it is induced by human activity. And it has enormous health implications, as Vicki has already alluded to, in terms of the allergy, pollens, pollen count and worsening allergy conditions.
And so it leads not only to health issues, among kids, they're especially susceptible to health issues regarding the environment?
Absolutely. Kids are more vulnerable to both air pollution and climate change for a number of reasons. One, 80 to 90% of their respiratory systems develops after birth. Mm-hmm. And so their lungs are still developing. Their immune systems haven't quite fully developed either. That's why kids are always getting sick,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And they're always
exactly.
getting colds and infections. Mm-hmm. And so that vulnerability also makes them more at risk to air pollution. They actually breathe in more air per pound than adults do.
Oh, really?
And for the most part, they spend more time. They spend more time outdoors engaging mm-hmm. in physical activity.
What about older people? You know, elderly people.
Yes. So there are several at-risk groups. So children are a major health group that's at risk. But as you know, as you mentioned, elderly people, those folks over 60 years of age, for a number of different reasons, they might already have some chronic diseases, lung disease, heart disease, that makes them more vulnerable. And they have a weakening immune system. People from low-income communities are also at risk as well, and people who spend a lot of time outdoors.
Right. Today we are talking with Susan Berryman-Rodriguez. She's a project director for Mothers and Others for Clean Air, and Vicky Carew. She is a supporter of Mothers and Others for Clean Air, and her daughter has asthma. And we're talking about some of the issues involved in the air in our area and all over the state of Georgia, and some of the things that Mothers and Others are doing to make things better for us and to clean up our air. What are some basic things that people can do around the house? I know, Vicky, you probably have a lot of experience in this, having to make lifestyle changes, but what are some things that people can do to make the air around them much better, much safer?
Well, so a couple of things is, you know, there are certain apps. There, you know, State of the Air app, the American Lung Association, airnow.gov is another resource you can go to online. Also, check your newspaper to find out what the air quality is that day. So if your kids have asthma, you have to kind of rework your schedule so they're not outdoors playing when ozone levels are high. But anything really to reduce your use of fossil fuels. So driving your car less, walking more, cycling more, replacing your incandescent light bulbs with LEDs or compact fluorescents, buying locally grown, harvested food instead of having to, you know, buy food that's coming all the way from California.
Right.
So there are really a number of things that people can do. You know, climate change, I think, is one of the most serious public health threats that we're facing right now. And more medical public health groups are taking a position or issuing statements on the need to address climate change because of its impact on public health. A lot of these major groups include the American Medical Association, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the National Nursing Association, the American Thoracic Society. And then last year, the National Medical Association surveyed its member doctors, and 88% of them said that climate change is relevant to patient health. I think people are starting to pay attention. They're starting to realize the health implications from climate change. And again, as Vicky said, there are a number of things, impacts on our health that we're actually seeing now. This is not an issue. This is not an issue that's affecting the future. I mean, you know, the faraway future is happening right now. So we're seeing an increase in and worsening cases of allergies that are brought on by elevated levels of pollen and that are caused by more vigorous weed growth and longer pollen season. We are seeing an increase in the rates and ranges of infectious diseases carried by insects like Lyme disease and ticks. Mm-hmm. Or dengue fever, West Nile virus by mosquitoes. We are seeing an increase in illnesses and deaths from heat stress caused by rising temperatures, especially in the West and in California. We're likely to see increases in injuries from extreme weather events, right? Whether right. it's flooding, heavy rainfall, hurricanes, or, you know, remember we had snow apocalypse.
Yeah, we sure did.
And then finally, we're likely, and in some cases are seeing increases in cardiovascular and respiratory diseases and deaths caused by smoke from either drought-related or fire-related, heat-related wildfires, as well as changes in air pollution, especially ozone. Ozone is one of the most common and deadliest air pollutants that we breathe. And one of the key ingredients to forming ozone is heat. Hmm. So as temperatures rise, we're likely to see higher levels of ozone, which is a well-known trigger for asthma.
That's a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah,
yeah, it is a lot.
It is. And, you know, John, as a parent as well, one of the things things that sometimes people don't think about, one of the other side effects of this is on the educational front. Mm-hmm. Of course, we know how important it is for children to be present in school for them to really receive the level of education that they need. But if children are missing school because they're ill, because of these effects, the effects of asthma and these other diseases, then they're going to miss out on some of those important instructional time. I have a daughter who, even when she's not feeling well, she still wants to be in school. She still wants to go to school because she's very engaged. She's very involved. But you lose instructional days when you have to keep a child out of school because they're not feeling well, because they have to be hospitalized. So those are some of the other effects as well that that we sometimes don't factor into the impact of this change in the climate and some of these other the other resulting effects of it. So there's so much more. There's so much. And unfortunately, we've had to experience that firsthand.
Susan, I know that the EPA is expecting to finalize their clean power plans. There's been a lot of discussion about that, too. Talk about what that is and what Mothers and Others' position is on that particular plan.
Well, coal-fired power plants are the largest sources, it's the largest source of carbon dioxide emissions or CO2. And CO2 hurts all of us because it contributes to climate change. So in order to fight climate change, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, under the authority of the Clean Air Act, have established a draft plan called the Clean Power Plan. They released the draft last summer. And this plan establishes state-by-state carbon emission reduction target goals and then offers a flexible framework under which these states can achieve those goals. So nationally, the goal is to reduce CO2 emissions by 30% below 2005 levels by the year 2030. Mm-hmm. And Georgia has a goal of reducing CO2 emissions statewide from power plants by 33%. The Clean Power Plan, I think, really represents an enormous opportunity for us to take a big step forward to cleaner, healthier air by increasing our use of energy efficiency and renewable energy.
What is the timetable on that? When will it take effect and moving forward? What's the plan?
Well, so EPA released their draft plan last summer, and after getting thousands and thousands of comments on the plan, they're expected to release the final plan sometime this summer, perhaps in July. But the good news for Georgia is that we can develop a plan that not only protects the health and well-being of our communities, but improves efficiency, creates jobs by advancing wind and solar technologies, which I think is going to strengthen our economy. So looking forward, these standards can ensure that power generation in Georgia is local, cleaner, and more efficient. So I think that's a win-win.
We've talked a lot on this show about alternative fuels and ways that we can be more efficient, whether it's natural gas or battery-powered cars and electric cars and so forth. The Georgia legislature, though, enacted a transportation bill that is going to do away with the credits. And I know there's some concern about that. There seems to be some resistance to giving people the credits to buy the alternative fuel vehicles. Do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it was incredibly short-sighted of the Georgia legislature to do that. There is a lot of pollution that comes from the transportation sector, and this pollution is killing people. I think anything that we can do to encourage electric vehicles that run cleaner than gas-fueled vehicles is a good thing. And I think because they did eliminate the tax incentive, we'll see fewer and fewer people in electric vehicle cars. So it is a big disappointment for us.
But now we are seeing more, for example, the MARTA buses. I always cite that because I see them all over town. They clean natural gas, and a lot of fleets are going to that now. And you hear more and more about fleets and of different municipalities because they can save money now. It's proven that they can save money by using these alternative fuel vehicles. I'm curious to get people's opinion about that. That is going away, that tax credit. And, we've others in here who've echoed your sentiments, too, about that.
Well, we're hoping it will be fixed next session. I'm going to be optimistic. And we just have to, I think, again, it's education, right? So if more and more people realize that there's health benefits to encouraging the use of more electric vehicles, we might be able to persuade the Georgia legislature to think long term instead of short term.
Right. Right. There's always that next session coming up.
That's
so you never
right.
You never know. Talk about your partnerships. You mentioned a couple. I know Emory and Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, and you mentioned some others.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about some of the organizations that you have partnered with and what you do with those partnerships and how you advocate for various things.
Mm-hmm. Well, so our partners do a number of things. I mean, they conduct research. So we have a partner who is with the School of Public Health, Georgia State University, and over at Emory. And actually, they're doing some research, and they share some of their research about the transportation sector and how it harms our health. And so we're able to use their research and testimony in talking with elected officials, decision makers. Other ways we work with partners is educational events. We had an event past October at the St. Regis, and Sam Champion was our MC for the event. And we had two medical doctors on our panel and a climatologist talking about how climate change affects children's health. So we do a lot of educational events, and our partners work with us. And we also provide trainings to pediatric residents and training, right? Because they're dealing with children. They are really the perfect spokesperson to be talking about air pollution and climate change and how it affects children's health and advocating for policies that fights climate change.
And Vicki, you probably deal with a lot of physicians, so forth, with
yes.
your daughter and dealing with that too. And it's important to you to get have a physician who is up on everything and has the right answers for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's critical because they really are our first point of guidance in trying to maintain, to control my daughter's asthma. So that it's important to have a physician who's in the know, up to date on what some of the practices are, what up to date on what some of the precautions are that we can take, because we also have to take on some level of responsibility in controlling my daughter's asthma. And I think it's also important, which is part of the education that I think mothers and others has been so critical in sharing for us. It's important to make sure that our children who suffer from asthma are also aware mm-hmm. of what their triggers are. And I can tell you that has been really instrumental in controlling my daughter's asthma, because as a mother or as adults, we want to be able to be the ones that take care of our children. But the times that they aren't with us, and if they happen to be around other adults who are not as well versed in what the precautions are, then it's important that the children also know so they can self-police. And so I think the education is important with what organizations like Mothers and Others are doing. It's important with what our healthcare practitioners are providing for us. But as families, we also need to make sure that we stay abreast of what the things are that we also need to do, from advocacy and making sure that our policymakers are aware of what our concerns are, but also making sure that we are taking responsibility in what we can control in our homes.
And to that, you would probably like to see more mothers and others like you involved in Mothers and Others, because that's what happens. You become educated the more you get involved. So I'm sure there are other parents that you know that you would probably encourage them to be become a part of it and what you're doing.
Certainly, certainly. I think it's important. And the organizations don't have as far a reach as we do as individuals. So whether it's our families, our colleagues at work, other families at school, friends, other people that we come into contact with on a regular basis, it's important that we share what's going on, the information that we know, pass it on firsthand to other people, encourage them to be involved. And Mothers and Others cannot operate with just the efforts of the staff. We also have to support them as volunteers. So certainly it's important that other parents, other mothers, other fathers, aunts, uncles, extended families also get involved in spreading the word and encouraging others to also be involved.
And Susan, what are some ways that people can get involved as volunteers or to provide financial assistance? What are ways our audience can help you?
Well, they can check out our website, which is mocleanair.org. But I think it's really important that mothers get involved. There's nothing, I think, there's no stronger force than a mother who loves her child. Mm-hmm. And so by sharing their story, like Vicki has here, is a great way to get involved, you know, agreeing to meet with their elected official, participate in interviews. We also, again, work with doctors and nurses who talk about how climate change and air quality affects their patients' health. So we have a lot of information on our website that folks can go visit. I did want to point out, because we were talking about children being at risk, right? Mm-hmm. Well, according to the World Health Organization, more than 80% of the health burden from climate change is occurring in children 5 years and younger.
Wow.
And so this is even more reason for more moms and dads, right, to get involved in our efforts.
Not just for mothers, it's for others too.
Right. If people aren't mothers, then they're probably another, right?
They're others.
That covers everybody in the room.
Right. And give out your website one more time.
It's mocleanair.org.
Mocleanair.org. And you can go on there, and I've been on there. You can see stories about mm-hmm. other people. You can see more about what your mission is and find out if you have events coming up and mm-hmm. so forth. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of information on the website.
Right.
So
that's right.
Well, thank you both for coming in today and sharing this information with us. I know it's something, certainly a topic that is being discussed greatly right now. So thank you both.
Thank you. It was
thank
a pleasure
you for having us.
And today our guests have been Susan Berryman Rodriguez. She is Project Director for Mothers and Others for Clean Air, and Vicki Carew. She is a supporter of Mothers and Others for Clean Air, and her daughter has asthma, and she has concerns about the quality of the air around us. And we thank them for being our guests today. And you can always find out what's coming up next week on Georgia Focus on Twitter. You can follow us there at GA News Network. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next week here on Georgia Focus.
You've been listening to Georgia Focus, a public affairs presentation of this station and the Georgia News Network. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of this station or the Georgia News Network. If you have comments or questions about Georgia Focus, contact John Clark at the Georgia News Network at 1-800-776-4638 or email johnclark@georgianewsnetwork.com. Thanks for listening.